Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh, new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Tom Withers is in for Andy today. It's been an absolute blast, and we've had a potpourri of fine guests today. Started early on with Chris Antonetti, president of baseball operations for the Guardians. He joins at 10:40. Mary Kay Cabot talks some draft with us at 11:20 from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, talking Browns. Travis Hafner at noon. Omar Vizquel just finished up at 1 o'clock. If you missed any of those, go back and listen to them on the Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com. One thing that Omar was talking about there, and just, you know, his abilities as a defensive player, Tom, but every time I think of Omar, I think two things in particular. Number one, he was not a big guy. He still is not a big guy.
He
hasn't grown much. and nor is it, does it look like he's put on a pound. He still looks like he's in
fit
game
to fight,
shape.
Yeah.
And he at the time showed what a little guy can do in Major League Baseball. And he had some years hitting-wise that were unbelievable that you wouldn't think of. You know, and some of them jump out in particular. It was 1999. Guy hit, 333? And he had 191 hits. You know, I mean, he did some things. But the thing that sticks out to me about Omar that I don't think people in Cleveland necessarily realize, and for an okay reason, because he wasn't playing here, but Omar left Cleveland in 2004 at the age of 37 and then played 8 more years in the majors.
24 years.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
He played 4 years for the San Francisco Giants,
yeah,
and played most every day until his last year there. It wasn't until he was 41 years old that he became a part-time player. His first 3 years in San Francisco, he was their starting shortstop. And then he finished up at the age of 41 with the Giants for one more year, went to the Rangers at 42, played in 108 games for the White Sox when he was 43, played with Chicago when he was 44, and finished up as an infielder at the age of 45.
Incredible.
Playing for the Toronto Blue,
yeah,
Jays.
Doing something.
That's
right.
It's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe. You know, I forgot about the 14 homer season in 2002.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
I don't know, because he only hit 80 in his career. Batted 283 over 11 years here in Cleveland. You know, and you can't dismiss the defensive stuff, but
the glove was so good.
But you forget how good he was offensively, though,
oh, yeah,
right? I mean, he was in the middle of all of those rallies,
yep,
right? You know, could come up with the extra base hit, could steal a base when you needed,
yep,
it. Did everything
just
well.
Just a good, well, great in many instances, all around baseball player. One of the greatest defensive players I've ever seen in my life. It was either Omar or Robbie.
Oh, no question.
And they were, depending on what side of the infield, Omar's the best defensive shortstop I've ever seen.
And not to bring up a good, bad memory, but his throwing error in game six of the 1998 ALCS against the Yankees won the Yankees that series. Now, mind you, that's the Yankee team that went 125 and 50 and just bludgeoned their way to another world title, right?
Yeah.
So, but I can remember, and I wasn't even based here in Cleveland yet. I was still in New York, but I remember Omar being so accountable after that game and standing at his locker and taking on wave after wave of, you know, not only New York reporters, but national reporters' questions about the error and handling it with class. And what just a tremendous player. Again, you know, Jeff, you and I talk about it sometimes, how lucky we are some of these intersections of careers that we've had with people in this town. And Omar is certainly on that top of that list for me.
Guardians just made a trade.
I see that.
They acquired right-handed pitcher Cody Bolton from the Seattle Mariners. So there are two of Omar's teams. For cash considerations, they sent him to AAA Columbus. So there you go. He's been with the Pirates and the Mariners, 33 games at the major league level over the last two seasons. So there you go. 3.07 ERA in AAA.
You can never have enough pitching. You ever heard that before?
Well, I have heard that before. It seems to be the case. We were talking in the break about Omar. And Omar, 5'7", 170, 100 whatever pounds. And his impact on the game started to change, I think, a little bit because people were looking for the different type of shortstop, Tom. And I wonder if you think that's kind of switching back a little bit?
Yeah, it seems to be switching a little bit, Jeff. Yeah, you're right. They were looking for that Cal Ripken, A-Rod, Troy Tulowitzki, 6'3", 220, first guy to get off the bus type of. Our shortstop needs to hit 30 home runs. Those days seem to be gone. And I think Omar was part of that switch to get these defensive specialists out there. And there's, he mentioned a few before. There's some really good ones. Boy, Bobby Wood Jr., every time I watch that
guy, he gets
to get better every game too. So
he's really good.
Tough having him in the division as well. See a lot of him.
And the funny thing about it, if you're really paying attention to baseball, and a lot of people who listen to our show do, and we appreciate that, man, as good as a great offensive shortstop is and can help you, a bad defensive shortstop will just kill you. And it's the guy who can do both who's just going to make a boatload of money.
Totally.
And, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody who can compare with Omar defensively who could hit and be a huge, as much of a presence on the offensive side, Tom, as he is on the defensive side. I don't know if those guys exist. Ripken was good. But he wasn't like Omar.
Yeah, and then A-Rod moved over to third, so that was different, right? I mean, early in his career, he was at short. But you're right, there's been very few guys in our lifetime that have had that kind of balance, right? And never mind be able to, like I said before, steal a base, lead by example, be a good clubhouse guy, all those kinds of things.
3-6 for the Guardians so far. And
it's early.
Again, we know that. And we're going to be able to say that for a while.
Yeah.
That said, which one do you have your eye on most? Is it the rotation? Is it the bullpen? Is it the offense?
For me, it's always the offense because I feel I have such a belief and trust in this front office and in this coaching staff. Carl Willis, who you guys had on earlier today, he's the best.
Good.
And I think Chris mentioned it. If there is a Hall of Fame for coaches, I think Carl Willis would be in there already. So it's the offense. Yeah, I think you still got to get back to being able to score 4, 5, and 6 runs, put up a crooked number in innings. And, move guys around. You need guys to hit the ball out of the park every once in a while as well. So I'll continue to keep an eye on the offense because I feel like at the end of the day, that's going to be what's going to separate these teams in this competitive AL Central, the team that can really score runs.
Dan's making a funny face.
I got some really bizarre breaking news. Okay. I'm Sham Sharani at ESPN. The Denver Nuggets have fired coach Michael Malone.
Wow.
What?
So there have been some rumblings about some internal division in Denver for a while. So while this is surprising to me, given the timing and where they are in the season, I know things have not been as rosy as you can imagine. And Michael, who I know a little bit from his time here in Cleveland, Michael is not one to bite his tongue either.
Michael is feisty.
You know what I mean? Just like his dad was.
I spent a lot of time with Michael.
So you know what I mean. So maybe there was who knows what has happened over the recent days.
Right now they're in fourth place in the Western Conference. They're 47-32, and of course they have an NBA championship on the resume.
And they're one of those teams that if they found themselves into the finals, you wouldn't be shocked.
Totally agree.
No.
And they've had some injury issues, and you know, you could maybe argue that they've underachieved to a degree, given that they probably have the best player on the planet on their team.
They've lost four straight.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll find out sooner than later what's going on there.
Interim?
No idea yet. I'll keep you in the loop if they say anything.
I'm not even sure who's on their staff, to be honest with you, at the top of his staff.
I think that's stunning, man. That's stunning.
Well, especially with a week to go in the season. That's the most important part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Michael, I spent a lot of time with Michael covering the Cavs. Straightforward, straight shooter.
New Yorker.
Didn't mince words. Went from working at a Foot Locker in Detroit when his dad was up there and getting into coaching. He was just working, selling shoes. And Michael knows his stuff. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NBA.
One of the good guys, too. So was his dad.
Great guy.
Love Brendan. Yeah.
I used to give him grief because I have an issue. And Michael had this great head of hair. And then he showed up with it all buzzed off. And I looked at him one day and I said, "The hell are you doing?" I said, "Dude, it might happen to you one day. You don't have to bring it on yourself."
That's funny.
And he finally let it grow back. But you ready to hit your button? You got more?
Yeah, Chris Haynes is reporting David Adelman will take over. Rick
Adelman's son.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is a highly regarded assistant coach. Wow, that's stunning news.
Something more to talk about before the Cavs game tonight with various people in the arena. Yeah.
That's stunning news. You know, the NBA is such a weird league, Tom. And
it can be.
You know, like when Lenny Wilkins was here, Lenny's a phenomenal coach. Lenny ran the prettiest offense I think I've ever seen in the NBA when he was coaching Larry Nance and Brad and Mark Price. Their offense was just spectacular. Great spacing, great ball movement, great body.
I mean,
it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Need a different voice. And that's the NBA. They bring in Mike Fratello. Mike grinds it out with a team that wasn't very talented. And Mike's a hell of a coach. And what happens? All right, well, we got to make a change here. It just happens in the NBA.
J.B. Bickerstaff got his team to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
And improved
and gets
every
shown the
year.
Door. Yeah,
improved every year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are very few Greg Popoviches around.
Yeah.
Who stick with one team for a very long period of time. And that's just really rough.
Hey, since we're talking about NBA for a second, I don't know if you've seen the Celtic City documentary.
No.
On Max.
Outstanding.
It's phenomenal. It's so good. If you're an NBA fan, if you appreciate sports history, they do a deep dive. And I know it's tough for people that, where the Celtics are the arch rival at this point or whatever you want to call it. They do a deep dive into Bill Russell and, what he meant from a societal standpoint. The troubles in Boston over the years, the racial strife that's kind of, been problematic in that city for generations. Bob Cousy, John Havlicek, Red Auerbach, right on down the line. It is spectacular.
Reference.
Check it out.
There you go. I will check that out. That sounds like fun. Again, Michael Malone being released as head coach of the Denver Nuggets. So take that one and figure that one out.